Hello, and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com. My name is Mike Simpson, and in this show, we are going to discuss networking in Java. Be sure to check out my GoGo profile and send in any questions or comments using the box below. All right, let's get started. If you have access to a Java-enabled browser, you have undoubtedly already executed many applets. The applets that you've run are referenced by a special tag in an HTML file, the applet tag. Applets can be located anywhere, whether they're on your local machine or somewhere out on the internet. The location of the applet is completely invisible to you, the end user. However, the location of the applet is encoded within the applet tag. The browser decodes this information, locates the applet, and runs it. If the applet is on some machine other than your own, then the browser must download the applet before it can be run. This is the highest level of access that you have to the internet from the Java development environment for your applet. Someone else has taken the time to write a browser that does all of the work of connecting to the network, getting data from it, and thereby enabling you to run applets from anywhere in the world. But if you've ventured into writing your own Java applets and applications, you may have run into a class in the java.net package called the URL class. This class represents a uniform resource locator, and it is the address of some resource out on the network. Your applets and your applications may use a URL to reference and even connect to resources out on the network. For example, to load an image from the network, your Java program must first create a URL that contains the address to the image. This is the next highest level of interaction that you can have with the internet. Your Java program gets the address of something that it wants, creates a URL for it, and then uses some existing function in the Java development environment that does the heavy work of connecting to the network and retrieving the resource. Of course, since URL is the acronym for Uniform Resource Locator, it is a reference, an address, to a resource on the internet. You provide URLs to your favorite web browser so that it can locate files on the internet, in the same way that you provide addresses on letters so that the post office can locate your correspondence. Java programs that interact with the internet also may use URLs to find resources on the internet that they wish to access. Java programs use the class called URL in the java.net package to represent the URL address. The URL takes the form of a string that describes how to find a resource on the internet. URLs have two main components: the protocol that's needed to access the resource, and the location of the resource. For many protocols, the host name and the file name are required, while the port number and the reference are optional. As an example, the resource name for an HTTP URL must specify a server on the network, the host name, and the path to the document on that machine, the file name. It also can specify a port number and a reference. In a URL for the Java website, java.sun.com, that's the host name, and an empty path, or the trailing slash, is the shorthand for the file named /index.html. Now, the easiest way to create a URL object is from a string that represents the human-readable form of the URL address. Typically, that's the form that another person will use for a URL. There are four available constructors for the URL class, and each of those constructors will throw a malformed URL exception if the arguments to the constructor refer to a null protocol or to an unknown protocol. Typically, you will want to catch and handle this exception by embedding your URL constructor statements in a try-catch pair. URLs are write-once objects. once you've created a URL object, you cannot change any of its attributes. You cannot change its protocol. You cannot change its host name. You cannot change its file name. And you cannot change its port number. After you have successfully created a URL object, you may call the URL object's open connection method to obtain a URL connection object, or one of its protocol-specific subclasses. You may use this URL connection object to set up parameters and general request properties that you may need before connecting. Connection to the remote object that's represented by this URL is only initiated when the urlconnection.connect method is called. When you do this, you are initializing a communication link between your Java program and the URL over the network. The URL connection class contains many methods that let you communicate with the URL over the network. URL connection is an HTTP-centric class. In other words, many of its methods are useful only when you are working with HTTP URLs. However, most URL protocols will allow you to read from and write to the connection. URLs and URL connections do provide a relatively high-level mechanism for accessing resources on the Internet. But sometimes your programs will require lower-level network communications, for example, when you want to write a client-server application. In client-server applications, the server will provide some service, such as processing a database query or sending out a current stock price. The client will use the service that's provided by the server. So the client might display database query results to the user, or the client might make stock purchase recommendations to an investor. The important point is that the communication that occurs between the client and the server must be reliable. That is, no data can be dropped, and the data must arrive on the client side in the same order in which the server sent that data. The Transmission Control Protocol, usually known just by its initials, TCP, provides a reliable point-to-point communication channel that client-server applications on the Internet use to communicate with each other. To communicate over TCP, a client program and a server program establish a communication between one another. Each program will bind a socket to each end of its connection. So to communicate, the client and the server will each read from and write to the socket that's bound to a connection. But that kind of begs the question, well, what is actually a socket? Well, a socket is one endpoint of a two-way communication link between two programs running on the network. Socket classes, then, are used to help define the actual connections that we use, to represent the connection between the client program and the server program. The Java.NET package actually provides two classes. One's called socket and one is called server socket. The socket class implements the client side of the connection. The server socket class, as you might guess by its name, implements the server side of the connection. Normally, a server will run on a specific computer and has a socket that is bound to, associated with, a specific port number. The server then will just wait and it will listen on the socket for a client to make a connection request. On the client side, the client will know the host name of the machine on which the server is running, and it will know the port number on which the server is listening. To make a connection request, the client will try to rendezvous with the server on the server's machine and port. The client will also need to identify itself to the server so that it will bind to a local port number that it will use during the connection. Now, the port numbers are usually assigned by the system. Most network services have agreed upon port numbers, and usually there is a set of agreed upon port numbers that are known as well-known service numbers. When you are creating your own services for use over the Internet, service numbers that are less than 1024 are generally agreed upon to be used for specific services like file transfer protocol or FTP or simple mail transfer protocol or SMTP. So if you're building your own service from scratch, you generally want to use a port number that is greater than 1024 so you don't collide with a service that's already being used. So if everything goes well, the server will accept the connection from the client. Upon acceptance, the server will get a new socket bound to the same local port and will also have its remote endpoint set to the address and the port of the client. Now you might say, well, why would the server need a new socket? Well, the server is going to need a new socket so it can continue to listen on the original socket for connection requests while tending to the needs of the connected client, because otherwise the server would not be able to accept any other requests until it took care of the first client. And while the server is taking care of the client, it's going to need to be accepting requests from new clients. So what generally happens is that the server essentially clones or forks a copy of itself, and that copy takes care of the connected client. And so the server creates this new socket so it can continue to listen to the original socket for connection requests. That's usually a detail that's handled on the server side. On the client side, if the connection is accepted, a socket is successfully created and the client uses the socket to communicate this with the server. The client and server can now communicate by writing to or reading from their sockets. And the beauty of the way in which things are set up in Java is that once the socket communication is set up and established, reading and writing from the sockets is really no different than reading and writing from plain files. The java.net package that's in the Java platform provides a class called socket with a capital S that implements one side, generally the client side, of the two-way connection between your Java platform and another program on the network. The socket class sits on top of a platform-dependent implementation, so that hides the details of any particular system from your Java program. So you don't really have to know all of the gory details of the underlying stuff. By using the java.net.socket class, instead of having to rely upon native code, then your Java programs can communicate over the network in a platform-independent fashion. The java.net package also includes the server socket class, capital S on server, capital S on socket, which implements a socket that servers can use to listen from and accept connections to clients. So we have the socket class on the client side, and we have the server socket class on the server side. Now, if you're just trying to connect to the web, then the URL class and its related classes, such as URL connection and URL encoder, are probably more appropriate to use than the socket classes. But if you're actually going to build a service that's going to be listening for connections over the net and then passing data back and forth, then you're going to need to know about the socket and server socket classes. So which to use depends upon the type of implementation your application needs. As a matter of fact, the URL class and those related classes are a relatively high-level connection to the web, and they actually utilize the socket and server socket classes as a part of their underlying implementation. So they're actually using sockets behind the scenes, and we have the advantage of being able to either do the high-level stuff with the URL class and URL connection and URL encoder, or we can drop down and actually use socket and server socket as we need to. I hope that you have enjoyed today's presentation, and I look forward to your comments and to your questions. You may email your input to me by using the question box that is found on this page. I will be answering your questions, and I will be replying to your comments in upcoming presentations. If you are interested in viewing my other shows, just search the GoGo Radio Archive for my name, Mike Simpson. If there is a show that you would like for me to do, please send me an email and let me know. Thank you for your time today, and remember to tune into GoGo Radio. That's found exclusively on GoGo.com.